Growing in Christ, the chief aim here at Abounding Grace. Join us. Welcome to the broadcast. This is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden. Our time together today will return us to God's Word and some casual conversations with our teacher and Pastor Chris Gordon, that we might be encouraged in Christ, that we might grow in His grace. Won't you join us? Here now with this edition of Abounding Grace, once again, our teacher and Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, yesterday we picked up with the responsibility of the Christian husband, and asking the question, what are the roles that God has defined and set aside for man to exercise as he has been created in the image of God? And that has been an important subject this week and the past week in looking at the roles for men and the roles for women. And yesterday we said that God has given to the man the great responsibility to lead in the home, to be the head in the home, to spiritually care for and nourish his own family, a responsibility so great that God says it models and it pictures his sacrificial love that he has for his family, the church. A love so great that Christ willingly subjected himself to the cross for his bride. And God therefore calls husbands to love their wives in such a way as to pattern the love that Christ has for his church. But we're living in funny times, we have to say. Sad times. Because it's almost become socially acceptable for the man to neglect home so long as he is, quote, successful outside the home. He is a work giant, he's good at making money, he does well in his job or his business, he seems to converse well with everyone else, but when he comes home to the family, that's when he's silent. Ironically, as aggressive as he is in the workplace, the home is a place where he's passive, especially when it comes to spiritual things. We almost cry out today for men to be spiritually strong and lead in their homes because it's so rare. He's not leading. And yesterday we asked, where does this come from? Well, it takes us right back to the beginning. This, of course, is not anything new. This is the very scenario, and this is the very same problem that we faced right at the beginning with Adam and Eve. Here came the devil in the garden. He comes as a serpent trying to seduce his wife. And Adam just stands there, silent through this whole thing as the serpent leads away his wife. It's a terrible picture, we said. His wife's being led away in a spiritual adultery. And what should have Adam have done? Well, he should have stood up in righteous anger. He should have exercised leadership and headship. He should have crushed that serpent's head right then and there. And we wouldn't be in the mess that we're in. But he didn't. He was passive. He stood off to the side. So what does God do? Well, because of his passivity, because of his lack of leadership, this passivity now would become a way of life. And his leadership will be characterized as one of domination and enforced submission. If you look at Genesis 3:16, saying to the woman, your desire shall be for your husband and he shall rule over you. Because of the lack of submission on the woman's part, now the leadership, she will receive a passive husband, unwilling to sort of guard her and protect her in God's original design, who is prone towards insensitivity, lack of leadership in the home, spiritual apathy. And when he does finally exercise authority, it will be a domineering one, insensitive and enforced. That is the natural tendency now in men. And the natural tendency we looked at last week in women is to control and usurp the authority of the man. She wants to rule over him. Now, the Bible's full of this. If this sounds shocking to us, it really shouldn't. If we know the biblical stories and we know the basic Bible stories that we've heard and many of us have heard as children, nothing is clearer, of course, when we look at some of them, such as, let's say, lazy Ahab, who showed no care for his wife Jezebel, who in turn ruled him. To this day, it makes me shiver that Abraham would actually turn his wife Sarah over to Pharaoh, who actually took her into his house, and all the while, without trusting, he lied and said she was his sister. I praise God today that the Lord intervened and nothing happened to her because he plagued Pharaoh's house. But doesn't that alone tell you that the curse lies in all of us to flat out neglect our wives as husbands? So what do you have going on is no leadership, no nurturing, a passive, uncaring tendency, and then a dominance of tyranny men are prone towards. We know that in the early church, when Paul wrote to the Ephesians, of course, this mentality was very, very prevalent. I want you to listen to a few statements that Cato, a Roman writer of that time, said. If your woman is caught in an act of infidelity, they said, you had the right to kill her. We know that in the rabbi school of Hillel among the Jews, the teaching prevailed that if a woman displeased a man for any reason, even spoiling his dinner, he could divorce her. It became so bad that women refused to marry in that culture. The Greek and the Roman cultures at this time were no better, of course. Demosthenes said this, "We have courtesans for our pleasure, concubines for our daily cohabitation, and wives for the purpose of having children legitimately and having a faithful guardian for our household affairs." The Greeks viewed women simply to run the home and care for the children. The Romans viewed that women are to be married and to be divorced and divorced to be married, and thus told the story of one woman who had been married 25 times because of this corruption. So with all of this corruption, imagine what Paul's saying. We know where this comes from. We just looked at it in back at the beginning. And as a result of the curse, God gave people over to their own sins and their own wants. But what's Paul saying? Well, he's writing against this, isn't he? And he's calling all of us back to what God had originally designed before the fall. What does he say? First, this is done through what? Nourishing and cherishing the wife, the woman. Listen to verse 28 of Ephesians chapter 5. For husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. Now, husbands, have we thought seriously about what the Lord expects of us? The Greek word here for nourish means to feed so as to make grow, and cherish means to warm and to take care of, to soften her with love. Soften, isn't that interesting in light of the curse? Where the man has the tendency now to be domineering and tyrannical. What's the constant message about the love of Christ in the New Testament? Well, the constant message is we treasure the love of Christ, right? A love that constantly protects us, that warms us, that secures us. With all of the enemies around us as Christians attacking us spiritually, he continues to take the active role in loving us. Now, this love, of course, is not based on anything attractive that he finds in us. In fact, that love only receives a response of anger and hatred towards him by nature. And yet, his love was so enduring that he willingly went to the cross for his sheep. What sacrificial love do Christians enjoy? And all Jesus is concerned about is continually to nurture us, to continue to feed us. He sends us teachers and preachers, showing us his care and his love. Some of you who are Christians who have enjoyed a lifetime of this nurture and care. And this self-sacrificial love is so great for you, for those who are believers, that he went to death so that you might not know it. And today, he's continuing to do all in his power to nourish and to cherish those who have called out to the name of Jesus in this day of salvation, to tenderly protect you, to set a hedge around you. And here Paul says, husbands, you are to do the same. It's a giving of your all, a laying down of your life, a full devoted love with the goal that she would receive loving protection and nourishing care. What a calling, isn't it? Husbands, what should be our concern in terms of our wives? We talk much of male headship. What is the position we are placed, in which we are placed? Do you ever hear the language, exercise your headship? No. I think that can become rather abusive. The language the Bible uses is, husbands, love your wives. We know what love is, don't we? In other words, love is shown when the husband actively pursues serving his wife. That's a foreign message today. But isn't that what Christ did for us? Shouldn't the question for the husband be, what can I do to better nourish and cherish my wife, rather than asking, what is she doing for me? The question is always, what can I do to promote my love for her? A woman will respond to such love submissively. Don't you sit submissively and in awe when every time you think about the fact that Jesus Christ laid down his life for the Christian? And if you're a believer, that he laid down his life for you, that brings only response, doesn't it? Submissive response. It's absolutely true. There's something terribly wrong when the husband views his wife as a cook, a housewife, a sex partner, and that's it. God gives you husbands a treasure, a small way of representing the love that you enjoy in Christ, one that actively pursues your nurturing to salvation, nurturing her to salvation. That's what Christ did for us. In 1 Peter chapter 3, we hear more about this cherishing and this nurturing. And after giving instructions for wives to submit, listen to verse 7, husbands, likewise, dwell with them, your wives is the point, with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. What a verse. If the wife is told to submit, there is to be an active pursuit on the husband's part to be understanding. And what else? Giving honor to her. Have we ever thought that the wife is to be exalted? Meaning simply that since the wife is made to be physically weaker than the husband, he needs to do all in his power to make her radiant and beautiful, just as Christ does for his church. And that verse, of course, interestingly closes. God is going to hear the prayers of the one who is serving and nurturing his wife, not the one who's neglecting his wife. The prayers are hindered of a man who is neglecting the responsibility that God has given him to love his wife, a love that he expects us to show because it's a love that we enjoy in Christ. Christ actively pursues making his bride radiant and beautiful. A woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet and a garland of 12 stars is described in Revelation 12. That is heaven's picture of the bride of Christ when she is exalted, wrapped with those symbols of purity and bright beauty. Husbands, our calling then is to nurture our wives, to cherish them, to love them so that they grow to be a beautiful bride. Let us set ourselves to do that today and honor the design that God set and established at creation, to love our wives as Christ loved and loves the church. One of our great joys is to gather on Sundays to worship. You are heartily invited to join us for worship 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. at the Linden United Reformed Church. You may call us 360-318-0429, or you may visit us on the web, www.lindenurc.com. May you have a blessed day, and may Jesus Christ be your only hope in life and in death.